The other half stays alert with one eye open. This kind of unihemispheric sleep allows the animals to swim, breathe, avoid predators, and stay in contact with neighbors while still catching 40 winks. Although more research is needed to know for sure, sperm whales seem to have evolved a different strategy for sleeping at sea, sleeping with their whole brain more like terrestrial mammals rather than sleeping with half a brain and one eye open. This moment of science comes from Indiana University. Today's program was prepared by Sue Ann Zollinger with help from Luke Rendell at the University of St. Andrews in Scotland. For a moment of science, I'm Don Glass.
Support for today's broadcast comes from Prevena Diabetes and Obesity Clinic, serving the area with a comprehensive diabetes and obesity care clinic. Appointments and information available at 217-337-1300.
It's 2:41 in sports. Top-ranked Roger Federer will try again for his first French Open title Sunday against nemesis Rafael Nadal. The Swiss star defeated unseeded Frenchman Gaël Monfils in today's second semifinal. Earlier in the day, Nadal eliminated third-seeded Novak Djokovic from the tournament for the third consecutive year with his victory over the Serb. The Spaniard is the first man since Ivan Lendl in 1987 to reach four consecutive French Open finals. He's one win from becoming the first player since Bjorn Borg in 1981 to win four consecutive French Open titles. Top-ranked Lorena Ochoa has grabbed the second-round clubhouse lead at the LPGA Championship. The Mexican star birdied three of her last four holes en route to a 7-under par 65 and is 10-under after 36 holes. She's one shot clear of Lindsey Wright, who carded a 68. The Indianapolis Colts have traded reserve running back Luke Lawton to the Philadelphia Eagles for a conditional 2009 draft choice. He played in 11 games last season at running back and special teams. Lawton spent part of the 2006 season on the Colts practice squad after playing for the New York Jets in 2005. Cincinnati slugger Ken Griffey Jr. is still one shy of the 600 home run mark headed into tonight's road game at Florida. The veteran outfielder was in Cincinnati's starting lineup yesterday for the first time in four games and had a double in four at-bats in that 5-0 loss at Philadelphia. The Chicago White Sox look to continue their hot hitting tonight when they open a four-game series against the Minnesota Twins in a matchup of the top two teams in the AL Central. The division-leading Sox hold a 2.5-game advantage over the Twins. The St. Louis Cardinals are in Texas tonight to open a 3-game series against the Houston Astros. And the Chicago Cubs will try to keep their perfect season record against the Los Angeles Dodgers intact when they continue a 4-game series tonight. With last night's win, the Cubs improved to 4-0 against the Dodgers this year. Each of those four meetings have been decided by one or two runs. That's a look at sports.
WILL programming is made possible by Tires Plus Total Car Care, located at Prospect and Market View in Champaign. Tires Plus provides complete car repair and maintenance. More information is available at 366-3201.
The conviction on Wednesday of political fundraiser Tony Rezko raises a lot of potential legal troubles for Illinois' governor. Three witnesses said Rod Blagojevich was engaged in selling state offices and contracts for campaign contributions. The conviction also promises to be a thorn in the side of Barack Obama as he runs for president, Robert Wildebor reports.
Obama's name came up only a few times during the Rezko trial, and even then only in passing. But Kitty Kurth says that won't matter to Republican strategists. Kurth is a political consultant who works for Democratic candidates.
Because there is so little negative in Barack's background, they're going to bring up and magnify anything that they can find.
Kurth says Obama's short national career doesn't provide a lot of fodder for the McCain camp. The only issues she sees out there right now are Rezko and Obama's former pastor Jeremiah Wright. But Kurth points out the Wright controversy is kind of old news. She says Hillary Clinton actually did Obama a favor by airing all of that, because Republicans will get less traction with the issue when they bring it up during the fall campaign. But Kurth says at this point, that leaves only one easy target for Republicans, the Obama-Resco relationship.
Barack Obama is sort of the symbol for new politics and for a new way of governing, and they will try to use the Resco issue to make it look as though he's just another politics-as-usual kind of candidate.
The Republican National Committee didn't take too long to respond to the Resco verdict. They immediately posted a one-and-a-half-minute video on their website.
Longtime Barack Obama fundraiser Tony Resco was convicted today of fraud.
The spot goes on to describe a real estate deal that Obama's since called boneheaded. Obama bought a mansion on Chicago's South Side, and on the same day, Resco's wife bought the lot next door from the same seller. Obama then bought a 10-foot-wide strip of that property from the Rescos to enlarge his yard a bit.
Barack Obama, lacking the experience to be commander-in-chief, lacking the judgment to be president.
The relationship between Barack Obama and Tony Resco is fair game.
That's Jim Durkin. He's a Republican state representative, and he's the Illinois co-chair of John McCain's campaign. Obama has made much of the fact that, in contrast to Clinton and McCain, he opposed the Iraq War from the beginning. And facing criticisms of inexperience, he's touted that as proof of his sound judgment. But Durkin says the Resco connection calls all that into question.
He has raised judgment as an issue. If he's going to fire shots at Senator McCain, I think that he has to understand that he has to answer questions about his judgment as well.
In response to Resco's conviction yesterday, Obama released a statement saying he was saddened by the verdict. He said, quote, "This isn't the Tony Resco I knew. I'm Robert Wildebohr."
The rising cost of food means more than 27 million people in the United States are using some kind of government assistance to stock their kitchens. Applications for food stamps have more than doubled in some areas since last year. The Agriculture Department, which runs the food stamp program, says stamps are only supposed to supplement a family's food budget, but recipients and those who work with them say their monthly allotments aren't stretching as far as they once did. Illinois Public Radio's Diantha Parker went shopping.
Laura Diaz begins her all-day grocery marathon at about 8 a.m. when she rounds up her three daughters, aged 9, 7, and 4, to take them to school. She's unemployed right now. Diaz's husband, Jose Luis, is a machinist who works at night. Their son, who's 3, stays home with his dad during the day, along with the family's bird and 5 Chihuahua Terrier mixes.
See you later.
Got everything?
Yeah, I got
everything. It's all right. Just don't mind my mess in my van. Diaz's navy blue 1990 Dodge van is a mess. It also costs $60 to fill the tank. But she considers that a sound investment. She can drive to where she can get the most for her food stamp dollars. She's been on stamps for about 7 years.
It's embarrassing at first. You know, I'm one who does get shy at times. But you know what? Like I says, hey, I got to do something to help the husband, and that's what I did. I applied for food stamps, and I got it.
Diaz is 40-something and tall, with short black hair, powerful arms, and an easy laugh. She wants to get a job eventually. Here's the catch. She doesn't have a high school diploma, and any job she gets wouldn't pay enough to both buy food and pay for childcare. But it would pay too much for her to stay on food stamps. The bulk of her husband's paycheck goes toward a hefty mortgage. Here's how much this family of six has to eat on for all of June. $332 in food stamps. With that in mind, Diaz heads to a warehouse-sized place called Food for Less. Her list is based on what the newspaper circulars say is on sale.
Onions, I have a garlic, I have peaches, jalapenos, and broccoli, and a barbecue sauce, and the milk, and then the rest of the things I didn't put down, but they're somewhere in my head.
She knows a gallon of whole milk costs $2.48 here and gets 4 of them, hoping it's enough to last this week. We go home to drop off the milk, and then it's over to Cermak Grocery. She gets broccoli, bananas, chicken, and cilantro, but not everything she wanted.
It's not a good sale today. I don't know. But I guess I have meat in the freezer, so it's okay.
After every stop, she does the math. Back in the van, she looks at the receipt.
Okay, I spent $28.86. And my remaining balance is $247.54. So you imagine, the money goes quick.
so quick that the food stamps aren't enough to make it to the end of the month. So Diaz goes to the Casa Catalina food pantry, where she also volunteers. She spends a lot of time helping out there and gets everything from food to furniture when she needs it.
Okay, you found the place? More like we went to the other one.
Sister Mary McIsaac says Casa Catalina serves more than 300 families a day.
And many people come in this area that don't live here. And so we have to tell them we can only give them emergency food one day, and then they have to go to a pantry in their neighborhood.
Here at Casa Catalina, David Esparza mans a cubicle for the Illinois Hunger Coalition, where Diaz gets her stamps. He says food stamp applications have doubled since January. Esparza is seeing more layoffs, especially in seasonal professions like construction. And after an unusually cold winter, many people are still paying for last season's heat.
This one woman had an overdue bill of over $1,000. I seen $2,000. And that's like the number one thing they told me. It's like my bills are killing me. Like I don't know what to do. And I think that's what they're facing.
Food stamps are one of 15 government nutrition assistance programs. And the Agriculture Department says most recipients use several of them. For instance, Laura Diaz's kids get free breakfast and lunch at school. Now Esparza says a new demographic is calling the Hunger Coalition hotline, like the 50-something man collecting unemployment for the first time.
He actually had a PhD in clinical psychology, but he couldn't find any work.
More than 27 million people use food stamps right now, but the Agriculture Department estimates that in all, more than 42 million people are eligible. The government is trying to make the program more accessible in various ways, including a database of low-cost recipes and guidelines for stretching a budget while eating healthfully. I'm Diantha Parker.
It is 2:52 Central Time. This is the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Celeste Quinn. At least 2 million weddings will be held in the U.S. this year. Many of them will be extravagant, limousine-led events. But some couples walk down the aisle will be more like a stroll on an environmentally friendly path. It's known as a green wedding. Chuck Hornbach reports.
A big-budget wedding with limos, large reception halls, and high catering bills can put a lot of stress on the bride and groom. It might get at least one of the betrothed some scream time on the cable TV show Bridezillas.
All right, guys, I need my bridesmaids, Jackie, Amy, Kelly, Andrea, Harley, and Deb.
But other couples are aiming for a more low-key, we love each other and we love the planet approach to their happy day. Some wedding planners are paying attention.
Again, it only holds about 100 people, so you have to cut your wedding list down, which is actually a good thing for green as well, because then you're not producing as much, you know, transportation costs.
That's Tanya Van Kirk of the company Point Zero Events. She not only had a green wedding herself, but now advises couples on their way to the altar on how they can be more energy and environmentally conscious. She says the green wedding movement is small but growing.
I've had a couple of requests from brides. It's definitely a topic that's coming up more often. And I just choose to pursue that option myself. So I'm going to encourage as many brides and event people as I can to take part in that.
Van Kirk says a green wedding may be the right thing for environmentally aware couples in a tight economy. She says besides maybe choosing smaller venues, they might go electricity free and use natural light. Other recommendations are to register for gifts at an eco-conscious store or website, buy locally made wedding supplies, and consider using caterers that offer organic food.
Use local eggs, organic butter.
At a recent bridal fair, Lisa Malmorowski of Outpost Natural Foods hawked her store's version of green catering. She contends it's not necessarily more expensive than a regular caterer.
We can really customize things to people's budgets. So if someone wants a very simple wedding, which is also sort of fits into the whole green theme, we can do that very simply. And we're really willing to work with people if they want to use things like their own dishes or make some of the food themselves, and we'll supplement it.
Some women with weddings scheduled for next year say they're hoping to be as green as possible. Katie Spaulding says one of her first steps may be her choice of wedding invitations.
I like the idea of the recycled paper, doing invitations like that, and I know that's a huge trend that's happening right now, and, you know, I mean, I would consider doing that as well.
Wedding planners warn it can be more difficult to convince the groom to go along with a green wedding, but bride-to-be Casey Kircher isn't having that problem with her fiancé, Chris Vertig. He seems ready to say, I do want green.
It sounds fantastic. I'm just the groom.
I think that's his catchphrase, sounds fantastic, like anything I am.
Well, that might be a good start toward their life together, and that green wedding might turn into a green partnership. For the Environment Report,